Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, guide and direct us that we may live faithfully to you in the midst of all that goes on in the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen. I have been thinking about how our Bible gives us understanding on how to deal with all the events of life, and then I thought about the events going on around us today, right now, and I thought that I would talk about that instead of the Bible things. So we have all these events that can be distracting, or the events can be driving us towards God. It's always different, but I've been thinking about this solar eclipse that is coming in just a couple of days, and I thought about how the eclipse, the one from 2017 and the one in 2024, are making an X over America. And I thought that is very interesting, and a lot of people are reading in this or that, and I don't know what to read in. I just know there are possibilities, and we don't know really what it means. I also know that the eclipse is having, yes, an X across America, but also there's a little tail on it, which forms the Hebrew letter Tav. And that is the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And therefore, some people are saying that when you put this all together, you could say that it's the end of something. And with the X across America, could it be that there is an X? Maybe America is about to be over. Well, I don't know that. I certainly don't. And I know there You listen to the people who talk, and they have all sorts of ideas about what the eclipse means. And I know that in history, there have been a belief that when there is an eclipse, it is a sign of war. And at very least, it's a sign of God's judgment. And so there are people who are saying, God will judge America. And you know that that could be true. I sure don't know, but I know it's possible. And when you look in the Bible and you see the instances of whatever it is that happens, well, you know that a lot of things can be possible. And I think of the things that we are told in the Bible. I think of John, 1 John 5:3, where it says, those who love God keep his commandments. And that's pretty similar to John 14, the Gospel of John 14, 15. And it says that we are not just servants, but we are friends of God when we keep God's commandments. And of course, that gets my attention, because wouldn't it be so much nicer and better to be a friend of God than a servant of God? Just think of the closeness if you were being friends with God Jesus. So we want to keep God's commandments. And that matter of love is more than a feeling, because love is also an action. And it's up to each one of us to try to understand how to turn love into an action. Yes, with God Jesus, and yes, with the people we love, and yes, with even the people we don't know. How do we turn love into an action? Not just an emotion, but what demonstrates that we care, that we love that other person, or love God? It's an amazing question, full of questions, and I think that it makes a difference whenever we see the situation in front of us, and we get to decide how we can show love. We search out a way to show the love of God, yes, to God, and yes, to another person, as best we know how. Well, it's one of those challenges in life, and life is full of challenges, and life is full of opportunities. And we pray to God that he shows us the challenges and the opportunities to show our love to God and to other people, and to obey God. Yes, all of that. Well, here in California, we are going to have the eclipse go across California. I think it was for about an hour, and so it will not be a complete eclipse, but it will be an eclipse late morning. And so we get to have the pleasure of having an eclipse that goes by us, and that will certainly cool the day off without any sun to warm the atmosphere and the earth. It feels cool, maybe even cold. Well, it's going to be quite an interesting experience. I think of an old friend of mine who was told by a professor to use this darkened glass and that it would be all right to look at the sun. Well, that lady is now older. She's over 70. But the thing is she got a lifetime injury to her cornea because she trusted the professor to use that glass to look at the sun. Now, it's not that it blinded her, but it made for a blind spot in her vision. Yeah, it was small, but it was still a blind spot, and it just goes to show you want to be very careful about looking at the eclipse or the sun or anything like that. So yes, please be careful and don't get blinded. Nobody wants to have a permanent injury like that. But it's an example that really things do happen that you don't want to have happen. So, take care of yourself and the people you love, or even the people you don't love. I would not want somebody to have a blind spot on their eye because of the eclipse or because they looked at the sun with a incorrect lens. Well, as I think about eclipse, I think about the one over Nineveh in 763 BC. You see, our astronomers know this. It's a scientific fact of when eclipses happen, and they can search out that information and know that it was 763 BC when Jonah went to Nineveh and told the inhabitants of Nineveh that they must repent, or God would destroy Nineveh in 40 days. Pretty interesting, huh? Well, Jonah preached to Nineveh, and Nineveh repented in sackcloth and ashes. And Nineveh repented of their evil deeds or of unbelief. Well, you can kind of figure it out because I'm not sure what it was, probably both. But the point is, God was going to destroy Nineveh in 40 days unless Nineveh repented. Nineveh repented. And that kind of makes me wonder what that means for us. There will be this eclipse over the United States, and we kind of get to figure it out. I don't know, but I think of 40 days, and after the eclipse, that would be May 18th. So, no, I don't have any special knowledge. Nobody told me this. It was simply that I was looking at biblical examples and looking at the numbers. And I kind of thought about it and figured it out. So, as far as I know, there are no authorities that are talking about that. It's just an idea that I had because I thought about the eclipse and the dates. And I do wonder what the X over America means. I also notice that the X is right over the New Madrid earthquake fault. Now that a lot of people are saying. And so there are people who are expecting a huge earthquake. And that, I just don't know what to say about that. There was that huge earthquake over the New Madrid fault, well, actually the town of New Madrid, and that was the epicenter in 1811, there was a giant earthquake, and it made the church bells ring hundreds of miles away in Boston. It shook up the whole area. It released geysers to come up out of the ground because the pressure changed with the earthquake, and that squeezed the water up out of the ground, and there were geysers that shot way up in the air in 1811. There were not many people to witness it, but there were a few, and they talked about that. It did happen in the night, so they were scared, and they thought the world was ending in 1811, the few people that were there. Another very interesting thing was the plates, the tectonic plates in the continent there shifted and changed so much that it caused the Mississippi River to run backwards for a few hours. That's huge! Well, then the Mississippi River kind of changed its course and made a new channel. But that is the power of that New Madrid fault and earthquake. And it could happen again. Those are one of the major things that happens in earthquakes, and it is a major earthquake, just like the one on the West Coast, the Cascadia subduction zone along the west coast of America off of Northern California, Oregon, and Washington. See, that could be a very huge earthquake also. It could even cause millions of deaths. It is a huge matter, and nobody knows when these are going to occur. But there are people who expect, I mean, they're the scientist people, and they expect one trigger, one earthquake, like the New Madrid, to trigger the other Cascadia Zone earthquake. We don't know. We just don't know. It's all possible. And I think the big thing that we do know is that an earthquake could happen anytime. And what we want to do is to have some preparations for in case our stores cannot get things delivered, or in case the electricity goes off and the stores cannot do any business because their cash registers don't work, or maybe their refrigeration doesn't work. So the thing is earthquakes can happen, and we want to have some supplies on hand for in case they do happen. There are other things that can happen to the United States also. I think one of the ones that is certainly likely is a coronal mass ejection from the sun. Now, there was one in 1859, and it was called the Carrington effect, and it hit the United States and caused the wires to melt. Like, there was a new telegraph wire along the east coast of the United States. And when the coronal mass ejection from the sun hit the telegraph wire, it melted the telegraph wire, and the melted copper went into the grass and started grass fires along the east coast. Such a kind of a thing could happen again. I don't know. Nobody knows. But there was another coronal mass ejection that hit the United States in 1923. And that burned up the transatlantic telegraph line. You know, the one that goes across the ocean from New York to London to Paris. Anyway, that was a line. It basically was London to New York. And so it was this long undersea cable which absorbed the coronal mass ejection. And so the end of that transatlantic line was burned. And they decided not to replace it because more modern techniques of communication were being made. So they didn't need the transatlantic telegraph line any longer, and they just let it be in the ocean. But it actually did burn up one end of the transatlantic telegraph line. We still do have coronal mass ejections that can affect the long wires, whatever they are, whether they're the electric lines or our electric grid in the United States or anywhere in the world, or even electric devices. Our electric wires can absorb the energy from the coronal mass ejection and burn up the wire, whether it's in a device or not in a device. So it's something that can happen. It does happen. It has happened. And as I said, it was the Carrington effect in 1859. There was one in 1923. And there was a later one also. Oh, actually, there were two. Oh, but I'm going to have to reach for the, remember what the dates are. It was something like 1980, and then there was one in the 2000s. But they were minor. Both of those two were minor. But it still shows that the sun can give off a coronal mass ejection and cause a problem with all of our electrical and electronic devices. It's possible. Will it happen? That is the thing we just don't know, and we don't know when it will happen, but the scientists have been warning that it certainly could happen anytime. And of course, that makes me think about the Bible, what could happen in the Bible, and I think of Matthew chapter 24 about so many things going on earth. The events of the latter days or end of days, and what could happen. Lots of things could happen. I also think about what it talks about, wars and rumors of wars. And of course, we have wars and rumors of war going on right now all around the world, lots of places. It's a matter of what will they turn into, and that we don't know. Again, lots of people think that they will develop and turn into a World War III. And you know they could. They certainly could. But we get to have a guide by the Bible and see what kind of things could happen, because the Bible is an excellent indicator of what will happen in the future. And wars and rumors of wars is one of them. There will be famine and pestilence and serious things happening on earth. In a way, it's scary. Well, certainly it's scary for people who don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Because when you read some more and you go into the book of Revelation, there are all sorts of scary things happening. It just is too big of a fear to deal with. And all people do is they get scared. They get scared. But I tell you, we don't have to go through those things that are happening in the book of Revelation, because when we belong to God, we get to go to heaven instead of staying on the tribulation in earth. But there's always a question of when will those days be, and that is something we really don't know. But we do know they're going to happen, and we trust in God to give us the strength and ability to get through those difficult days when things go really seriously wrong. And then what we get to do is preach Jesus Christ to the unbelievers and tell them the good news about the gospel, how we can all be saved out of the trouble. Now, maybe not the trouble that's in front of them, but at some point there will be a time when we get to be saved out of the trouble. And that's a matter of what we tell people about. Now, that's the advantage of having a Bible also, because when people are going through trouble, they are looking for the answers, and the Bible has answers. So you look at those answers and see if there's a way that you want to strengthen your belief and be more obedient to God and do what he says to do, and not do what he says not to do. After all, it's a matter of being obedient and doing what God says to do, and that is a part of getting into heaven through the grace of God, through Jesus Christ. That is what we certainly look forward to. If we do not choose Jesus, we get to be judged after our death. And we get the righteous judgment of Jesus after we die. Well, what consequences those could be, because, oh, all have sinned, and I certainly have too. I don't look forward to the kind of judgment that I would have, except that I have Jesus in my life, and we live through and for Jesus as we go through life. And it's wonderful, yes, so that we don't have to have the punishment, or you could call it the consequences, of the sinful life that we have had in the past. Now, everybody has had that sin, whether it's great or small, and every sin makes a difference. Just like every good deed, I have heard the testimony that every good deed makes a difference in our afterlife. So, make that choice. Choose Jesus and live according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Have the good news. Have heaven. It's not that other place that we don't want to go to. So choose Jesus and then have your life reflect your choice. I think of 2 Peter 3:10, where the gospel talks about the sun will melt, it's the earth. The earth will melt with fervent heat. And we all get to try to figure out what something like that means. How will the earth melt? And yes, will it be from the sun, or will it be from a nuclear event in the future? Oh boy, we sure don't know. But we get an idea that it could be nuclear, and it could be from the sun also. But somehow, we would like to be spared from such an event, and that's another part of why we cling to Jesus in our future. We cling to Jesus as we go through life. And if we want to have some understanding of what will go on, we read the Bible, and that gives us an understanding of what will happen. Now, every single person, every one of us, has a choice of what will happen. Will we follow Jesus and have a heavenly future? Or will we choose to do what we want to do here on earth? And that means we won't follow God, Jesus. We will be doing whatever it is that we want to do. And God says, if you choose your own path, you get to have hell instead of heaven. So, you can look that up too. Make sure that what you're hearing is the truth. Make sure that anybody who tells you what the Bible says is actual truth. So that's the big benefit of reading the Bible. You get to see what is true, and you can also tell that the Bible is consistent in its message, consistent from the first to the very last page. So learn the Bible, understand what you possibly can, and then live your life according to what Jesus would tell you to do. It's not so hard to do. But again, just like doing anything, you have to say yes to one thing and no to something else. So that's what you do when you choose Jesus. You say yes, Lord Jesus, and you say no to the other things that he would tell you not to do. Now, it's pretty simple. It's all in the Bible. The Bible tells you what to do and what not to do. And are you willing to do it? Or do you want to go your own way? Me, I'll take Jesus any day of the week, and there might be consequences to it, but there certainly are consequences to doing things the way that each one of us want to do, and those consequences are to follow ourselves instead of Jesus, and that means we have a future in hell instead of heaven. So have a look at that. Make sure you study it out. Make sure that what you hear is really true. And the Bible will tell you all about it. So read that Bible or listen to it on tape or something. The Bible is a good book. It's full of good understanding. And there's just different parts to read. So many good parts to give you understanding. Now, God knows so much. Well, he knows everything. God knows everything, and we can see how people will live, and we get an idea where they will spend eternity.
And it's not like we know because it's not our decision. But we get a pretty good idea of what one kind of life will bring and what another kind of life will bring. So choose your way and then live it. Well, people these days are getting closer and closer to the end of days, to the end times. And that means if you're going to follow Jesus or not follow Jesus, do it and choose your eternity. Some people would say, I'm going to have fun. Well, your fun is going to lead you to hell. And if you're going to choose to follow Jesus, you get to follow Jesus to heaven. It's a simple choice, but you still have to choose. And how are you going to live? Now, we have things going on in our world every day, but every year. And we have things going on right now that are causing stresses and strains, or threats of war even. When you think of what the scientists are saying about what could come to the Earth, sure, it's earthquakes and coronal mass ejections and more things that we don't even know. I'm just thinking about scientists, and I'm thinking about Russian President Putin and how we have things that are in the works for wars and rumors of war. And we can just get an idea of what kind of things are going to happen because Putin has talked about the difficulty that the NATO allies are going to have. And he has said that there are evidences that the Western countries, United States, England, and France, in one degree or another, have had a hand in that concert shooting in Moscow. And there are just things going on which the United States and other Western countries are helping Ukraine to harm Russia in a military sense. So, Putin is most unhappy, and he says the Western countries are going to pay for what they've done. How? We can only guess. But there are things that are going to happen. And you know that the Western countries, as largely the United States, has given Ukraine, I think it's $80 billion, and that's a whole lot of million-dollar bills. If it's $80 billion, it's 80,000 million-dollar bills. So it's a whole lot of our tax money that the politicians have sent to Ukraine. And, yeah, thousands of million-dollar bills. And that's what our politicians have done. Now, the trouble is, the people are responsible for what the politicians have done. That's our form of government. Our form of government is that the people are the power. And the politicians are supposed to represent the people. Now, there's a lot of people who say the politicians don't represent the people. And yet, that's the system we have. So we get to kind of figure out what is going to happen next. Well, God holds America responsible for all the things that the United States has paid for, whether it is military around the world or abortions around the world, or terrorism around the world. I mean, the United States, through their three or four letter government agencies, has done a whole lot of interference in many countries. And we can only guess what will happen to the United States because of what the political people and the hidden three- or four-letter agencies have done with the American money. We are having some massive programs, and lots of things are happening, whether the people want it to or not. Our representatives have said, for instance, let's bring lots of immigrants into the United States of America. So we have millions of immigrants coming into the United States of America, and not everybody wants that. Do you remember voting on it? No, but our representatives said, sure, come on in. We'll pay your way. We will pay for your food and your housing. And lots of times, the U.S. government is taking the migrants around in planes or buses to put them here or there in every state. So it's a matter of we don't know really what it will do. But it's going to do something, and our government will have an effect because of what they're doing. And so will the people. And now our government has so much national debt that if we did not borrow money, we, the United States of America, could not even pay for our electric bills to keep the light on in the government buildings. That is how much debt our country is in. And it's not just the country that is in debt. The people are in debt also. There's so much debt. We have borrowed to maintain our standard of living, our standard of eating, everything. And somehow, Americans are finally running out of money, and so is the United States government. We can only guess what will happen, but it looks like there's going to be trouble coming to the United States. How much? We can only guess. But there are people who say that the United States is going to collapse. Those are the financial people. And they may well know because they've studied financial interests of all the countries around. And they can get a pretty good idea of what's going to happen. Of all the countries in debt, they all have great big problems, whether it's Venezuela or Chile or Argentina or Brazil or Egypt or Zimbabwe. China is in debt too, and they are having some big problems. They say that it's the world's number two economy. Yes, I'm sure it is. But China has a debt problem, and the big interests keep loaning China money, and China is struggling with its money problems. So we're going to just see what we see. But I hope that everybody is preparing for a really serious situation in the future. And it's not that we know what it is, and unless you want to look around and study what happens to countries when they go into debt. Well, they go bankrupt, and they can't afford the programs anymore. And then the people suffer. And then other interests come in and buy everything for pennies on the dollar, because the people need money to live, and so they sell what they have. That is a way that is as old as the Bible. In Egypt that happened, and in all the countries of the world. No, it's not all the countries, but it's many countries of the world that has happened, and so many people know about what happened in Germany in the 1920s. With hyperinflation. Well, that can happen anywhere. It happened in Austria. It just is a way that is very typical, and we get to kind of understand what to do. I think the big thing we do is we study the Bible and figure out how do we avoid the problems, and that is we follow the principles in the Bible, both morally, as a community, and financially. It's all there, and our founding fathers knew what these principles were, and they gave us a constitution and a bill of rights. But the politicians want to change the constitution and the bill of rights just a little bit here and a little bit there, and pretty soon things are changing. Like at the last budget that was put before Congress, they got the budget, hundreds of pages, and they were given one day to look it over and talk in Congress. That's not the way to do a budget. So we have things going on which are not proper, and we can only see what will happen. And I say, look out, get ready, because the things that have happened in the rest of the world will certainly happen in the United States, because we have chosen to follow something other than the biblical pattern and something other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. So things are going to change, and we're not quite sure what will happen, but we know it's not going to be good. So get ready for some really serious things to happen to our neighborhood and our country and your life. There's going to be great big things. Now, I see a typical pattern of inflation. And what would you do if your, let's call it a $5 carton of milk, suddenly became $10, then $20, then $50? Would you go without milk? A lot of people would. And a lot of people would choose to mortgage their house and buy milk. So you get to choose. What do you want to preserve? Your house? Or your ability to enjoy milk, or to enjoy your clothes, or your standard of living, to drive to work or not, or take the bus. All these things are going to be a change, and we get to choose what we are going to pay for. Are we going to pay for the things that will not give us value? We all make the choices. So have a look around and see how you're going to walk, whether you're going to walk with the principles in the Bible, or you're going to do your own walk and choose what you want in the moment, or what your family says they want, like milk and cold cereal. I don't know. It's all going to be different. You might be better buying potatoes. They're probably more nutritious than cold cereal. But we all make choices. And we all have the effect. And some people are going to get very, very poor. If there was an answer, I think we would do it. But it's not an easy answer. It's going to be hard to make the decisions, to make the choices that we need to make so that we can live a decent life. It's a good question, because we have problems going on in this country. There are moral problems, like our abortions is one problem. We have a problem with our electrical grid, with our transportation. Just look what happened in Baltimore with that key bridge and how it collapsed. Was it intentional? Well, you sure have a lot of opinion about that. Plenty of people say, yes, it was. Plenty of people say, no, it was an accident. And I would just say, if it was intentional, do you think the person who caused the accident with a boat is going to say, oh, yes, I did it on purpose, but I was hiding my involvement in the ship that hit the bridge? Of course, they will hide it so they don't have to be responsible, in their mind at least. So we've got things going on where we have targets here and there. We have military targets. We have civilian targets. And our military and our civilian areas, the financial areas, all of them are involved in this little or great big war that we are involved in. It is worldwide. It is a war on you and I also. And we get to figure out what we are seeing and what will happen. There was that pipeline that brought natural gas from Russia to Europe, the Gulf Stream 2 pipeline. And so there's an argument about whether that was done intentionally by USA, or was it an accident, or was it done by Russia? Well, we all get to figure out what we understand and make a choice. I do think that we can look at what it would take to blow up a 3/8-inch steel pipe that was 200 feet under the water. Not everybody could do that, but somebody sure did. And we get to kind of investigate what it could mean and what are the forces that are going on in the world right now. We have things that are kind of warlike that are going on with Iran and with Gaza and Hamas, and what's going on in the Red Sea with the ships that are off the coast of Yemen. Well, we've got things going on, and then there were the three Iranian brigadier general that were killed in an airstrike on Damascus. It was at their embassy, the Iranian embassy in Damascus, Syria. Well, that sure is a violation. But my point is, there are these things going on that are causing instability in the world. And we don't know for sure what's going to happen with Taiwan, what's going to happen with Africa, with Washington, D.C., with the Baltimore Bridge, in the Key Bridge in Maryland at Baltimore. There's all these things that are going on, and they're causing problems with our supply chain, with our car parts, with our pharmaceutical medicines. There are problems with our normal supply chain, but there seems to be plenty of fentanyl coming into our country, and it seems to be China that is supplying the fentanyl that comes into the United States across our southern border. We have problems. What are we doing to pray for our country, to strengthen our country? What are we doing? Will we be able to have a country that is strong? Yeah, I think we will, but we sure better do something about it. Besides praying, sometimes it's time to take action. And with all the things that are going on politically and economically, with the government agencies, we know there are powers that are having a harmful effect on America. So let us keep every citizen identifying with Jesus Christ so that we live the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And we ask for protection from God, because our country has so many problems and concerns that could, well, I mean, it could drown the country. It could literally make our country fail. It could turn our country into violence and corruption. And I really mean more than there already is. So what can we do about it? We can live a righteous life and expect the people around us also to live a righteous life, because there's so many powers that are having a conflict right in the United States. And we want to uphold God's righteousness. So there will be a time when we can pray, and there will be a time when we can act and speak that we expect a person to also live righteously according to God's will. There are things going on in our country. Sometimes we see them, sometimes we don't. And it's kind of obvious that there's plenty we don't see. And sometimes we have to rely on the reporters, like an independent investigative reporter, to tell us about what is going on in America. And we can listen to the reports and get a grasp of what is actually going on. Well, we know our country is really kind of falling to pieces. And so that is why we want to ask God for his protection and live according to God so that he will watch over his people. I know there's plenty of things going on. I was just thinking about how in the last 10 years I've met people, both who were ex-convicts and military and police people. And so I have been made more aware than I ever have been in my whole life that we have dangers in our country. And those dangers are from the people that are really, they're one step away from huge violence. And we need to protect our innocent people, our women and children. Certainly, protect the innocent. And a part of that is through prayer, but another part of it is through watching after people and staying with a good and godly life. I didn't realize that there was so much corruption and bad behavior until I got on the edge of a ministry that dealt with ex-convicts, basically. And I found out that there really was a whole lot of really bad stuff going on in America, more than I ever realized. And now we have another form of ex-convict coming into our country because third world countries, like in South America, have opened up their prisons and let the convicts in the prisons in those South American countries come to the edge of the United States. And they are coming into the United States saying they don't have any identification. And so many of them are let in because they claim to be political prisoners, which they're told what to say so they can get into the country. Well, we are having an experience going on in our country where a lot of people that we would not want to have in our country are actually coming in. And I do include the people on the terrorist watch list, hundreds of them have been identified as coming into the United States, mostly across our southern border. And so these things are going on, and we get to speak to somebody, preferably our political representatives, and tell them we don't want it to happen. What are you doing? Are you being cautious about the people around you? As I was saying earlier, I know the ex-convicts from my ministry work, and I know that there are some people who really would be dangerous to have in normal life. And we have examples of people coming across our southern border that are just as dangerous or more dangerous than the ex-convicts we have in the United States. And they are very often gang members who would be happy to do anything in order to get rich according to their needs. Or maybe it's just to get drugs. It's a great big problem going on. And I would like for everybody to stay undamaged, to have their bodies working properly and not to have a conflict, not in their mind, not in their body, and not in wherever they are, maybe in their car. I would like people to be free and enjoy the freedom in Christ. But for that, we do have to watch out at what is going on, and we have to preserve our freedom. Now, there's different ways to do it, and I hope that you have a look at all the ways that there are to preserve your freedom. And if we say nothing, it's pretty sure that our politicians will choose the easiest way, and probably that is to do nothing to keep us safe. So speak up, do what you can, make sure that your representatives know if you are concerned about one thing or another. And then, as you go through life, just make sure that you are being as safe as you can, whether you are in a group or with your family. Keep your eyes open, keep your attention on what is going on around you. I have found out that there is more dangers than I ever knew. Most of my life has been kind of innocent, and I didn't pay attention, and I didn't go in places where I shouldn't. So these are things that, yeah, we can make things pretty safe, but it's not the same as really watching out for if there is some evil in your neighborhood. So keep yourself safe, keep your community safe, and of course, that means your family. The biggest thing is your awareness that there really is trouble out in the world. So look out and be careful. Protect, as I said, those innocent children, the people who are innocent, and the women and the young people, or the old people too. Lots of people need to be watched out for. So at least watch out for the things going on around you. Stay away. You can always listen to any past broadcast of Christ Today by going to www.christtoday.org. And if you have something to say about the broadcast, I welcome it. I know I haven't had a lot of response for the last 6 or 8 months, and I'm just wondering if people are still interested in hearing a broadcast that talks about this. So please, I would welcome your correspondence, even if it's just to say what you like or don't like. It would go to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And remember to have some preparedness supplies for the just in case, even if it's the most basic. Water, food, and warmth. And the warmth can be your clothes. It can be a hat or a stocking cap. You can all have extra socks and extra clothes for whatever that is. A coat is always good to have with you in the car, and walking shoes. So just pay attention to what is going on and what you might need for wherever you're going. I always like to have a little backpack too. You can carry your snacks or a little water. A flashlight's good. You can carry anything, whatever suits your understanding, whether it is a multi-tool or a knife or a backpack with rope. Always different, but give it some thought to know what you can do to be prepared. And my preparedness paper is available free. Just would you please send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, and I'll get my preparedness papers to you. Well, thank you for today. And God bless you.
Christ Today is a listener-supported ministry. Send your checks or donations to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Again, that's John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927.